This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Dallas has a vibrant art scene that could keep a person busy for days on end. Join us at the table to hear about some of those wonderful sights we have enjoyed and want to share with you.
Welcome to the Steel Magnolias Podcast. We are two sisters here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
The South is full of beautiful diversity in landscape, people groups, and culture, and we want to showcase each part. We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up your chair. Well, hello, y'all. This is Lainey here.
And I'm Laura Beth. We're here at the table.
I may talk for an hour because we're talking museums.
Oh, gosh, that's true. I do have some I've been assigned that I did attend and visit, but this is Lainey's hot topic. Lover of art, for sure.
It was so much fun preparing for this one. I just feel like museums offer so much to explore. They have classes, films, lectures.
True.
There's so much.
And great gift shops, said the one that's less inspired but still enjoys.
And I feel like it just really helps expand your horizons. There were several things that I saw in these museums that gave me wonderful, pleasant emotions.
Yes.
There was several things that made my blood pressure go up and made me mad and felt frustrated. But isn't that the point?
Yes.
It's art.
It's visually inspiring and evoking. Right?
Yeah. So it's supposed to evoke emotion. Yes. And it works.
Yes.
There was some I wanted to,
talk to somebody.
I started to say spit on, which is terrible because we just did our episode last week on the decoration day, and it makes me, I said I didn't like what people were doing with the flag, but in some protest.
Yes.
But it is interesting how art will make your emotions flow.
Yeah. We've got several to talk about today because they have quite the arts district.
They really do. And I wanted to mention that this arts district is just under 6 miles away from Love Field Airport. Very easy to get to on a long delay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really easy to get to.
And
it was the
experience?
First place I went from landing at Love Field, and it was so easy to get to.
Which is Southwest.
Right.
That's their airport.
I didn't say that. Yeah. If you're flying American, I want to say that's 16-ish miles.
That sounds right.
But a little harder.
Yeah.
To get in and out of because it's so large. But Visit Dallas, the website, their tourism website, is a great resource to help in planning a trip. If you want to see some of these museums, if you want to get a feel for if you could do it on a layover and all of that, check out their website. It's very good.
Right. And you couldn't do all of these on a layover. Well,
oh my Lord, I couldn't.
Honestly, air travel has gone this summer already for some people, it's been disastrous out there. So there have been some overnight stays. For some of y'all listening know exactly what I'm talking about. But yes, for the most part, this area and these museums are really not too far from the airport. And so we're not taking you off the beaten path by any means today.
And some are a little more digestible than others in a short period of time.
Yes.
And you'll know which ones as I'm talking.
Yes.
All right. I want to start with the crown jewel.
Okay.
of the Dallas Arts District. 370,000 square foot building.
Whoa.
that houses 25,000 pieces of art.
Goodness.
The Dallas Museum of Art. It's one of the 10 largest art museums in the country.
Cool.
And literally has art from all over the world in 10 collections, over 10 collections. They have the African art, Asian art, design and decorative art, European art, indigenous American art, the Kir collection of Islamic art, Latin American art, oceanic art, post-war and contemporary art, prints and drawings, U.S. and Canadian art. That's not even including exhibitions.
Whoa. I'm already curious to know. Like, you probably didn't even get a tiny percent. Okay.
And I didn't hit. I think in the permanent collection, strictly for time purposes and all of that, you could probably guess where I hung out. I was hanging out mostly in contemporary, U.S., and European.
I was going to be...
Because that's what I know.
Yeah. I'm glad I bit my tongue on that. I was going to say, I can guess where you were, but well, that's ugly. I'll stop that. Okay.
I have found that... I mean, I really can find beauty in even the kinds I don't like.
That's true.
You know, I can find some beauty, like in thinking about what tools they had to work with. Wow. If it's some of that Egyptian stuff or African stuff where you know there was no good tools.
Good point.
That kind of thing.
Good point.
But that's not where I want to hang out. Give me the Matisse, the Monet, the ones I know and love. Anyway, this museum is free.
Oh!
So let that be part of your layover plan as well.
Heck yes.
Exhibitions are different, but all of this
to walk around
main collection is free.
Nice.
That doesn't necessarily mean parking is free, though. I think I had to pay $20 to park.
Hey, in a city, that sounds almost cheap compared to what we've been paying in cities lately.
I know.
Okay, darn, I don't want to get on that either, yeah.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on each of these talking about what days they're open and what times. You need to look that up.
No.
But museums are often closed on Mondays or a day. So look that up.
And they often have various price points for different persons, adults, children, vets, etc.
So we won't go into the details of that unless it's, I did want to say this is free. So,
okay.
Because that's
point.
Awesome.
Good point.
The current exhibitions they have right now, there was a Impressionist Revolution from Manet to Matisse that was, or was it Monet? It might have been from Monet to Matisse. Amazing.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
That's only there through November 3rd of this year. So if you happen to get there, that's worth an extra price.
It's
so good.
So really, maybe if anybody's going to be looking to plan for a fall break, fall is a wonderful time to be in Dallas, Texas. Away from the oppressive heat that can be down there.
Yeah. They also have, there's usually three exhibitions going on, and you can pay just to see one, or if you know you're going to see all three, they do like a little bit cheaper to do all three price. But that Impressionist Revolution exhibition is wonderful. There was also the title was When You See Me, Visibility in Contemporary Art and History. It features 60 works by a diverse intergenerational group of 50 artists who contend with visibility both socially and formally. I think I showed you some pictures.
Oh my goodness, this is where you were showing me those blind pictures. The pictures for, right? The Braille?
No, was actually in the Impressionist one.
Okay, sorry.
Do you remember the one I showed you with the women's coverings but no face, like you would see in a Muslim country? That was one of the ones in this. So their works explore invisibility, hypervisibility, the desire to be seen, and the right to be private. So
this
all
is,
those different things. So I that's why it's called When You See Me.
Okay. Wow, that's profound.
Really interesting. Again, this was an area where some of them I felt good things. Some of them I felt yuck things.
Yeah.
But it made me feel things.
Yeah.
And then there was one called He Said, She Said, Contemporary Women Artists Interject is the subtitle.
Okay.
It's only there through July 21st. So you'd have to be pretty quick to get to see this one. But again, there was different themes of women getting their voices heard.
Yeah.
In a world where men are heard more.
Sure.
So, pretty profound.
That's cool.
I described one to you from mm-hmm. that. It's too hard to explain on a podcast, but mm-hmm. very, very good.
That's awesome. So you call that the crown jewel.
Well, I do because of its size, because of the amount of art that sits in that one yeah. huge building. It's a jewel of the area. Yeah. And it's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah. I want to mention on the early part of this that if you are going to be visiting Dallas and know that you're going to hit a few of these, you might want to check out what they call the City Pass.
Yeah, lots of cities have this, and it's a great thing if you're going to be hitting yeah. variety so, of places.
The museum you were just talking about was free, so no need there. But this is for one-time admission to four attractions. So you get to visit the Perot Museum of Nature and Science.
Which we will talk about.
The Reunion Tower Geodeck, which we're going to talk about. You get in both of those, and then you get to pick two of the following three choices: the Dallas Zoo, the George W. Presidential Museum, and the Dallas Holocaust and Human Rights Museum. That's three different museums, of which you get to pick two.
Okay.
So you don't have to pick right away either. Like, you just buy the pass and then figure out what combination of those you're going to do. It's really discounted. A city pass price for an adult 13 and up is $55.
And then you're getting to see
a lot of museums.
Several things.
Yeah.
I do think some of those places want you to, like, once you've got your city pass in hand, tell them what time you're coming, day and time you want to come.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because you do, yeah, they just call it a reservation. Make a reservation, and it's actually required for the Geodeck, which I'll talk about later, and the Perot Museum. Like, required. Remember okay. when yep. we showed up
oh,
to
yeah,
that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
They were like,
remember
what time's
well.
Your reservation? Oh, we don't have one. Let me stand here and make one. Anyway, but it's recommended for yeah. all. So, let me talk about one of the museums that's on that list that's an option, the George W. Bush Presidential Center. So in a previous episode, I don't know, maybe last year, gosh, we've done so many.
We've done so many, they run together, but we did do a presidential libraries that fall in the South
yes,
episode.
Of which there are five of those libraries fall in the South, and three of them are in Texas alone.
Because Texas is huge.
So the five presidential libraries that are in the South, real quick, are Lyndon B. Johnson in Austin, Jimmy Carter in Atlanta, George H.W. is in College Station, Bill Clinton's is in Little Rock, and then this one, George W.'s, is in Dallas. It is on the campus of Southern Methodist University because former First Lady Laura Bush attended SMU. And I remember saying on that episode for the presidential libraries that I wanted to visit the George W. Museum for sure, because that is the president that I have, like, adulthood remembrance.
For sure.
Of, yes. You know, I was in college during his presidency. So you're just more familiar with, like, what is happening
you
in the world.
You remember headlines and things.
Yeah. So W, as they say. that whole center is really, or the library they really call the Bush Center. And yeah. it's 15 acres in an urban park that's filled with, they've got native flowers and trees. And there's like a whole section actually outdoors that you can roam around called the Texas Rose Garden. So that is actually kind of almost its own feature.
Yeah.
If you will, outside of the museum. But I just wanted to highlight a few things. The actual library portion of the center is operated by the National Archives and Records Administration. So if you are a researcher, there is a component that is truly for you.
Which we didn't even go to.
No. I kind of wanted to.
We so, are yeah. researchers.
I nerd out on archives and you nerd out on art. So difference. But since his presidency included the very catastrophic September 11th, there's a very moving exhibit that is a significant portion of the museum, but it's not all of the
it's
museum.
Not. As I'm looking at a map as I'm okay. as you're talking.
You almost would expect that that's his whole experience. You know, his whole, the whole center is devoted to that.
Not it's even. Not. I mean, it's this little tiny circle of, yeah. the whole, of what I'm showing her on this map. And they call it September 11th and response, which I like.
Yes. Yes. So, the you know, there's some very moving pieces in that section, including the bullhorn that George W. used in shouting to the people of New York City encouragement. There's a very significant piece that many of us saw live on the news or have seen clips since then where he was, you know, he was basically on...
talking to the crowd.
And on standing on a pile of rubble and just with firemen and people around. And somebody says, "We can't hear you," because they were having trouble hearing him.
Yeah.
And he responds, "I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people who knocked down these buildings will soon hear from all of us." You know, it's right. this moment in time where you're woo! Like, yeah. So other moving parts were, or just parts that stood out, were seeing the gifts on display.
Oh, I loved that.
That were
from
received,
all over the world.
Yeah, from other nations to the president. Extravagant golds and different figurines.
Jewels and
beautiful jewelry. Beautiful. I really enjoyed walking into the exact replication of the Oval Office.
That was so fun.
As it would have been.
Because they get to kind of change things out the way yeah. they want. What art do they want on the walls? What
yes.
carpet do they want?
Yeah. The Winston Churchill bust and yeah. the phone, the telephone with all of the presets. That was interesting.
That was
to
so
see.
Cool. You there know. Was a button that said 41, which I was like, that was his dad.
That's so true. So really an interesting experience. Wherever you fall on your political spectrum, you can really be inspired from
Absolutely.
The themes of optimism and freedom. And, you know,
I would go to any presidential museum,
sure.
regardless of if I liked that person as a character or not.
Yeah, yeah. And you can buy individual tickets. This doesn't have to be something you do just through the city pass. You can get tickets
sure.
at thebushcenter.org. But really, quite an experience and very cool.
It was
cool.
fun for us to visit during SMU graduation and see
yes.
graduates in caps and gowns buzzing around and getting photos with their family there, too.
Yeah, lots of families
cool.
gathered around campus. Very cool. Where to next?
Let's go across the street from the Dallas Museum of Art. There's lots of places you can go across the street. I didn't make it to the Crow Museum of Asian Art. I've heard that's beautiful.
Okay. Cool.
You know, you only have time for so much. So I went over to the Nasher Sculpture Center, and I actually had a wonderful thing that happened before we made our trip. I was included in a press preview for an event that was going to be happening at the Nasher Sculpture Center. So that's very unusual. I've never done an art press preview before. And now I want to do them all the time because it was so cool. I got to meet these two artists that are twin brothers who had an exhibit opening. But first, let me just talk about the museum. It opened, this sculpture center opened in October of 2003. It's the home to one of the finest collections of modern and contemporary sculptures in the world.
Cool.
The center was a long-held dream of the late Raymond and Patsy Nasher, who together formed a comprehensive collection of masterpieces.
Wow.
They have de Kooning, they have Matisse, Moreau, Picasso, Rodin, other amazing names that are permanent, part of the permanent collection there. This museum is very digestible if your layover I mentioned is not super long. You could easily do the Nasher. A lot of it is in this garden out back.
Oh, cool.
And I was there in the morning, and so I had a coffee in hand,
nice.
Which they're not going to let you walk around with in the inside. But because I was outside,
sure.
I took my coffee out and walked around in this garden that has these big sculptures by the names I just mentioned.
Wow.
And it was just so peaceful. Could hear the birds and... I didn't hear cicadas, actually, even though it's that time of year.
Refreshing, yes.
Maybe they hadn't come out just yet in that area of the corner of the world. But anyhow, there was a there's a couple of changing exhibits that happen in the interior of the museum as well. And so I got to see those. But the press preview I went to was these twin brothers, Nikolai and Simon Haas. They're called the Haas brothers. Have a new exhibit there. It's going to be there through August 25th of 2024. And it is beautiful. It's 4 pieces total. And 2 of them are on the street. You don't even have to go in the museum. One of them is inside the museum, and one of them is going to be in the permanent collection that's out in the garden.
Good for
them. So no matter when you go, you're going to see at least one of the Haas Brothers pieces. These guys grew up in Austin. They're just a little younger than you. And really amazing guys to hear from on their inspirations of these sculptures. They're very unusual. I showed you some.
They are.
I would use the word whimsical. That might be cheesy to use, but they're very...
they are whimsical.
Whimsical, yeah, to me. Yeah. They said they were very influenced by the Austin's 90s stoner culture.
Did they really say that?
They said that.
Oh my goodness.
I definitely could see a Gaudi influence.
Okay.
If you know the Gaudi name, who did a lot in Barcelona, I could see a lot of his influence on them.
I can too, because I know that Gaudi. And
you've seen that stuff. I haven't seen it, but I want to get there. But anyhow, they're fraternal twins. They don't look alike. But they started a practice together in 2010 that just has so much playful flora and fauna and... There's lots of curiosity. They've brought in this aspect. Of course, you can tell they're younger than me because I don't even understand how all of this works with using 3D technology.
Great. I'm already lost.
And I know, right? I'm going to read one thing that I
was like, about 3D, now I'm lost.
Well, the piece that's out in the garden that will be part of the permanent collection is called an emergent zoid.
Okay.
And I'm going to read from the Nasher did a spring publication, and this is what it says. Using 3D computer graphic software, the Haas brothers create simulated shapes reminiscent of one of their favorite childhood toys, the wooden wiggly snake.
Oh, yes.
Remember
that
little snake?
Sure.
They choreograph their movements digitally. And the brothers call the shapes Zoids in homage to Dr. Zoidberg, a central character in Matt Groening's animated television series Futurama.
Okay. Don't know that one, but...
You know, he's the Simpsons guy.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it's beyond my understanding, but they have these wooden snakes that
I wish y'all could see Lainey's hand motions going like a snake around and round.
This visual video, and then they would freeze certain frames and see which one they liked, and this is the one they liked the best. Was
okay.
This particular interaction. I'm showing her a picture of the sculpture before it was painted.
We'll have to put some of this up on Instagram this
week. Because it's too hard to explain.
So you guys can understand.
But it was super cool hearing from the guys on... They did another piece that's inside the museum that they call the Strawberry Tree. It's a sculpture, but it also has blown glass strawberries that they made, mm-hmm. learned how to make, and then made
mm-hmm. wow.
for this.
Wow.
Tons of gorgeous beadwork. Literally with teeny little beads. There's
wow.
Yeah, it's truly spectacular and creative. But visit the Nasher Sculpture Center.
Okay.
Regardless of this exhibit is here or not,
sure.
You're going to get a lot of cool inspiration. And, you know, all of these pieces have stories like that.
Yes.
Of how they came about, what they did. I just felt so privileged to get to hear
directly
from
them. That is cool.
On what music influenced them, what shows did they love. These moonlight sculptures that they have out on the street came from an inspiration. Austin had 30, they called them moon globes, I think.
Okay.
But they were basically these towers that had lights on them.
Okay.
there's not many of them left in Austin, but I looked it up because they were talking about this is a real memory from their childhood of these lights that kind of had moonlight. And they wanted to do their own version of a moon tower.
Cool.
Moonlight tower. So
that's
anyhow.
Awesome. Very cool.
It was very cool. Highly recommend hitting that
museum. I'm glad you got to be included in that. What an honor. That's very cool. Well, one of the museums that I don't know if people realize is set up in the just, I mean, almost eerie way that it is.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know where you're going now.
It's the sixth floor museum at Dealey Plaza. This chronicles the life and assassination and legacy of President John F. Kennedy. It's got, you know, a full exhibition, artifacts. This, I would absolutely say, is a must visit for any, especially American, to go see this if you are going to be in Dallas. It sets up a timeline leading up to November 1963, which is when John F. Kennedy was shot in downtown Dallas. And when I'm talking about a book depository, that really doesn't makes sense to us right now because we're like, what's a depository? You just don't hear that word very
much
anymore.
That's so true, you don't.
Depository. So, I mean, I would just call it like almost like it was a book warehouse.
Yeah.
Is that what you would say?
Yeah.
Like a warehouse would be almost an interchangeable word to that. And it is literally, the museum itself is built around what was this business. And
where the shooting actually happened from.
Yes. So, you know, you've got a timeline that walks through some events, you know, like I said, again, leading up to November 1963. But then, I mean, following through the hours and days after that awful tragedy, the conspiracies that came out, the state of the nation. I mean, it was...
Oh, man, yeah.
Chaos.
Yeah.
It was pure chaos. So I just thought it was so well done. The most eerie moment is when you're up on the sixth floor and they do have a way for you to look down through the window onto
Elm Street.
The street where was it a little X on
the
street?
There's a white X on the street permanently there to mark where he was shot.
Yeah. So he was in an open car in a, you know, procession and... You can actually, it's just weird.
It is very eerie.
It had that feeling of the museum in Memphis, the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, where you're walking through the museum and you're ending where Martin Luther King Jr. was actually shot on his balcony.
Just, anytime you're literally like, wow, it was literally right here and it changed everything.
Yes.
In our nation.
Yes.
Those marked moments. Yeah.
Please put the sixth floor museum at Dealey Plaza on your to-do list, whether you lived through that or did not.
Yeah.
It is fascinating.
And like you said, I thought it was mostly going to be focused on just that event.
Yes.
And it's more about JFK's life and legacy as well.
Yes.
It's not just about that one event.
Agree.
So
agree.
Very cool. The Perot Museum of Nature and Science.
Ah.
So...
My son got a FaceTime call from
this. He did because it was that one. It was that worthy of a FaceTime call.
Dinosaurs.
So this is a four-story building. It features this eye-catching, they call it the T-Rexcalator. It's an escalator on the outside of the building with clear views of downtown as you're going up.
So cool.
And there's a big T-Rex dinosaur bones over your head. It's really wild. The best way to see this museum is actually to go up to the fourth floor and then make your way down.
Okay.
Once you're really wanting to see all of the different floors, which it has so much to offer. And that's just, I'm just talking about not even including all their camps and stuff that they offer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to go to a really cool event for an adult, and that is called Thursdays on Tap.
Ah.
So Thursdays on Tap is 21 and over. event. They have live music. It usually sells out. It's $25.
Is this year round, you think? Or is this like a...
No, it's... I think it's a year round thing.
Okay, cool.
It's $25 for a ticket. And if you're a member of the museum, it's only $5. So I thought that's actually a reason to join the museum.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Because it was really fun. So yeah, live music. They had a couple of different bars where you could, you know, get alcohol for purchase if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
They had, I believe it was 4 or 5 food trucks outside where you could get food. It's from 6 to 10 p.m.
Okay.
So I think I was there from 6 to 8:30.
I almost said 8:30. I bet you called it after 2.5 hours.
Because keep in mind, I had been to other museums all day. So I was done. If there had been a cute single guy that started talking to me while I was there, I probably would have lasted longer. But I did notice a lot of dates.
Did you?
On
That's
this
a fun date
event.
Night.
And it would be a really fun day. So they also do some incredible camps, like STEM camps.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If I lived in Dallas, I would want my kids going to these camps. And those also sell out. I looked at the ones that they offer this summer, and already a few of them are sold out. But definitely something to check out. This was just dreamy. They have exhibits as well. They had a really cool exhibit called Mission Mars, where they have a NASA rover. It's one, like, there's one literally on Mars right now that's getting samples of rock and soil and all that. But this was another one that was there.
I bet this is a staple field trip to every school in the Dallas area.
It has to be. But they have a close up, you know, where you can get pretty close to it and see this rover. But their permanent exhibits are all things dinosaur, fossils, natural gems, birds, mammals.
Cool.
Some of the hugest dinosaur bones put together things I've ever seen.
Wow.
Think woolly mammoth.
Yeah.
A whole one.
A night at the museum.
T-Rex, a whole one.
Yeah.
Turtle fossils that are swimming. Bird. Yeah. What is the one Jacob loved? The
pterodactyl.
Pteranodon
family. I know way too much about all of that.
Yeah. I had to FaceTime from there because it was just too much to take in.
That's awesome.
Anyhow, that's definitely a great museum. If you're a science nerd, a nature nerd. I mean, I was nerding out on all the gems and rock formations and stalactites and stalagmites that I was seeing. But yeah, the Perot.
Very cool. Well, I'll take y'all up high, real high. How about 470 feet up off the ground to the Reunion Tower geodeck. This is one, again, I said it was on the city pass and you have to make a reservation. Or like us, you could stand there in front of the cashier and make a reservation and then show your...
And be glad that they actually took us because it could have been sold out.
So this is affectionately known by the locals as just the ball. It's been a part of the skyline since 1978. So this provides 360-degree views of Dallas. You go up into this observation deck. Like I said, it's 470 feet up. They've got telescopes and all kinds of photo ops, and they even have some like zoom in cameras, but mostly telescopes that you can look through. Get ready for your new profile pic.
Oh my gosh, we saw so many girls getting new profile pics. It was
selfies,
hilarious. A few graduates,
lovebirds, graduates. We saw them all, didn't we?
All kinds of dress. Some could have used a few more clothes.
Give yourself time, though, because we happened to get there in like this little window where there really wasn't a line. But when we walked out, quite the line just to get on the elevator to go up. So give yourself time to get on to the elevator and to exit via the elevator. You only need really like maybe half an hour when
up there. But now, they had champagne you could buy. They, you know.
Yeah, you could do a date night.
There was
night
a whole section where it had like the Mary May if you wanted to propose to someone. That you're going to need more than 30 minutes. I was good with 30 minutes.
So I read that weekdays and then daytime hours of a Friday through Sunday are the least crowded times. But yeah, Reunion Tower gives you quite the perspective of all of Dallas from all its different angles. So really fun spot.
And the last one we're going to cover is the Dallas World Aquarium.
Yes.
Now, this has been open to the public since 1992. And I really enjoyed myself here for so many reasons, but it is laid out in a really surprising way for me, because you've sometimes felt like you were outside but you were inside.
That's cool.
I didn't know it was raining.
Oh, okay.
Until I got outside.
Okay.
And so I was thinking, this is a wonderful rainy day place to go.
Yeah.
But they have this broken down by basically regions. I don't know how to say this word. I think of Inya. Orinoco.
Okay.
Rainforest. Didn't remember that she had that song, Orinoco Flow.
No, but I believe it 100%.
Inya. The Mundu Maya. They had a South Africa area. Anyway, you're seeing birds, frogs, snakes, crocs, all these different things from that region.
It's awesome.
And I was really surprised how close I got to everything.
Oh, really? Not through a glass? Like just through?
Not always through a glass.
Nice.
Little penguins, flamingos. Aww. I've got some great pictures that we can share.
That almost sounds more like a zoo than an aquarium.
So this is what I found fascinating. I couldn't believe how much I saw, how close I got, without having to walk far distances from one section to another.
Now you've got a lot of people's attention. Yeah.
So I am a huge fan of the Dallas World Aquarium for this reason.
Cool.
Because you also are going from an area where you're, you know, actually seeing aquarium fish and sharks and things, stingrays.
Yes.
I saw all kinds of stuff.
All the underwater.
But yeah, you're seeing that. And then you come around a corner and there's birds and sloths.
Wow.
And,
wow.
You know.
Yeah, that's like our
the layout
reptile
was
and
very cool.
All different section at the zoo. Wow.
I know.
That's
I'm really
cool.
impressed with how
that's
they
really cool.
laid this out. I didn't, I was probably there 2 hours.
Okay.
And I felt like I got a great view of so many things. I got some wonderful pictures we can share on Instagram and Facebook or whatever, but I would definitely recommend the Dallas World Aquarium on a nice day or a rainy day.
Yeah.
Or a hot day.
Yeah.
Because you're inside, but you feel like you're seeing so much that's outside.
That is such a cool, sort of ironic
I know.
Thing.
And they had this great field guide to kind of walk you through the different sections.
I'm getting to see it now. Yeah.
And so you see what all.
That's big. But you're saying it was very walkable and doable. So that's really cool.
It was very doable. Like I felt like, yeah, the layout was very expert.
Yeah. Somebody from a large city that had to maximize their real estate.
Their space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So,
well, cool.
We've got all kinds of places for y'all to hit on your next trip or layover.
Dates, family excursion, solo, all the
things. And for the most part, Dallas has what they call an arts district.
Yes.
Most of the ones we mentioned are in the arts district.
Mm-hmm.
The George W. is up at SMU's campus. The
Tower's like downtown.
The Tower's downtown and the Dealey Plaza.
Yeah.
Is just outside of the, it's not terribly far
right.
from the arts district, but it's not in that actual district.
Yeah.
So there
cool.
you go.
Hopefully
lots
y'all
of
are...
exploration to come in Dallas.
Yes. Be inspired and let us know if you've got any questions. And we just can't wait to be back with y'all again next week. We'll probably be taking our summer break at some point
soon.
So
we can explore ourselves.
We can explore and relax and enjoy the summer months of the South. But we will be back next week with more good culture conversations. Y'all have a great week. Peace be with y'all. You've just listened to an episode of the Steel Magnolias Podcast, an independent show funded solely on support from listeners like you. And a few advertisers from time to time. For reminders of what we just said and links to what we just mentioned, take a look at the description of this episode. They are right there. Are you enjoying the show? We hope you'll text a friend or loved one to tell them about this podcast. And make sure they know how to get to a podcast first. We invite you to join our mailing list to be the first to know about episodes, giveaways, and events. Sign up at steelmagnoliaspodcast.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.